Hey, good evening, Patriots. And it is Sunday evening, the 3rd of March in the year 2024. Tonight, we have a very unique and very special interview. And I will tell you, of the interviews I've done, this ranks on one of the most unique and intriguing, and also one of those that was most surprising and rewarding. This is Jason Stinson, who you're going to hear from tonight. He is the worship pastor down at John Benziger's church, Redeemer Church, down in Arizona, just outside of Phoenix. And I'm going to tell you, I was not prepared for what I got here tonight, and I think you'll be surprised as well. This man has an amazing range of musical talent. Mind-boggling how far this goes and to what extremes. And what's even more impressive is how he's taken his music into some of the darkest elements of the music scene, which gets into death metal and the heavy metal punk as a Christian and as a singer. It's amazing what you're going to hear tonight. And it's one of these interviews that when I stepped into it, I really didn't know what I was going to expect. And I just literally about a third of the way through, I was like, what am I doing here? I mean, what is this interview about? It's fantastic. It was all Holy Spirit. So I think you really enjoyed tonight. It's fantastic. We're also going to close tonight a little differently. We have one of his compositions from Redeemer at the very end, which is just absolutely beautiful. So look forward to giving that to you in just a moment. Real quick call out. We have a fantastic sponsor, and it's Done With Debt. Debt is one of those things that really keeps us away from what we are supposed to be doing in life, especially our worship in God. It's one of those things that corrupts our thinking, makes us lose sleep, whatever else we can think of. It's corrosive. And so you need to get past it, and you need to start getting control of that debt. Done With Debt, it can be, as a company, can be your lifeline. They have some very ingenious strategies to help you through debt management, and they can get it done quickly and easily to lift off the burden on you. So all you need to do is get hold of Done With Debt, and you can go to donewithdebt.com. They're going to do an analysis. They're going to look at what services they can provide, what programs are available. Some of those programs are time sensitive, which is important to get hold of them, and then let them help you work through the process of reducing the interest rates, reducing the paydowns, and to do it without having to file bankruptcy or getting a loan, which is the key. So head on over to Done With Debt. Let those experts use their experience to help you in the best of ways. So it's donewithdebt.com, donewithdebt.com. And I think you'll find that service to be extremely valuable if you're struggling with those debt issues. Also remember that right now we're in a critical time, and we need to be paying attention to the reserves of food that we have. This is a really crazy time we live in. So head on over to preparewithbards.com. Take a look at the 4-week emergency food kit by My Patriot Supply. Currently $60 off. It's a great offer. It's a great foundation product to have and a great emergency product system to have for anything. And get one for every member of your family. We are in crazy times. This fire in Texas just wiped out massive fields of hay production. And it's going to be if it's their way, it's going to be a time of famine and starvation and disruptions as they want to make it. Don't let that be something you're caught short on. Have a good food plan and have an emergency food plan into that. My Patriot Supply offers the best. So again, head on over to preparewithbards.com and take advantage of the 4-week emergency food kit, 2,000 calories a day, and sealed and shelf life for over 25 years. So there you go, preparewithbards.com. There are interviews that we do, and conversations that we have would be a better way of saying it, that you literally walk in with a preconception of what things might be. And when you get into these conversations, you suddenly discover something that you never expected. Jason Stinson is an amazing worship pastor. He was also a Christian death metal singer and a heavy metal punk rock singer. And he was a country singer. You just don't find this type of talent very often. Tonight, you're going to get a chance to hear his story, hear a few of the samples, which will probably scream your ears off a little bit. And then as well, just hear the range of talent this man has. It's incredible. All in this in the name of spreading the gospel to some of the darkest corridors in the world. Now, I'll just tell you up front, having spent a little bit of time in the 2005-2006 on the scene, the underground scene in Portland, as I was doing a lot of photography, I'm familiar with some of these people he's been around, and the music scene as well, from LA to Portland is very similar. This is some dark areas here. This is literally like layers of Satan that he has walked into as a Christian, representing his band as a Christian metal or Christian death metal band and preaching the gospel. And so he's got an amazing story, one that I was just stunned at just how amazing this story really is. This is the sort of ministry that just completely energizes me, where people go where no one else wants to go and reaches into places that God needs to be and we need to be there, and he's done it. So with that said, allow me to introduce you to Jason Stinson. I'm real honored today to have Jason Stinson on. He is the worship pastor for Redeemer Church down in Arizona, and this is John Benzinger's church. So I'm anxious to get to know him, and this is also where Teddy, our AKA Bear, our mod, works. So this is kind of bringing another extension of Bars Nation together. So, Jason, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be talking to you today. Teddy, of course, loves your show, loves you. And Dale Thacker here was like, oh, this is great. You're going to have a great time talking. So I'm glad to be a part.
Awesome. Well, let's start with a little bit about you. And I know you said you'd been a musician before the show. You were talking about you'd been a musician your whole life. And you've been born and raised in Arizona. Let's hear a little bit about that and a little bit about you.
Sure, yeah. So I was born on an Army base here, Fort Huachuca, Arizona, in 1975. I'm 48 years old. Born and pretty much raised here in the East Valley of Arizona, Gilbert and Mesa area. And so I've seen it kind of grow from nothing to this mass, insane, huge place that it is now. And seen all every change that there is. But I love living here. Always since I was a child, I've been into music for whatever reason. I was never much of a sports fan and always kind of gravitated more towards heavy music. So for, I don't know, a better part of 20 years, I released a lot of like hardcore metal and punk type records, even a death metal album at one point. And have been doing that for years and years and years. Was a guitar player and a lead screamer. And then, you know, as a kid, grew up in my dad's auto body shop, listening to old school country music. And I've always loved that as well. I kind of like any kind of music, and except for popular music. So, you know, if it's country, it's got to be outlaw country. And if it's metal, it's got to be like the heaviest and the craziest thrash metal that there is. And so, but also always, I was born and raised in the church, born and raised by a Christian family, thank God. And I've loved the music of the church as well. I've loved hymns. I've loved playing different instruments and worship bands and hearing people sing back. Church is one of the last places on earth where people still gather around instruments and music and people sing, and they sing out loud with each other because they have a reason to sing. And so I've always really enjoyed that, and I've worked and been a part of churches for, well, since I was a teenager, but employed by a church for the last 12 years or so as a worship pastor.
That's pretty amazing. So did you go to Bible college or seminary? Is that a curiosity?
You know, I did not. No, I never. The most I ever got was an associate's degree. And I always thought, you know, I was in a band that was signed and we were touring, and I always kind of figured that I was going to make my living being in a band, and that's all I ever wanted to do. I had no other vision or thought for my life. And so, that didn't happen. I didn't make a living at music. I kind of am making a living at music now in a sense, but toured for many, many, many years, and then went to recording audio engineering school. And I realized quickly that I was never going to be able to support a wife and kids on the music that I was doing. And so I started my own business installing blinds and window coverings and whatnot for 23 years while I was doing music kind of in between with all that. So I've been thankful to be able to do music. But being in churches and working with leadership for so many years, about 12 years or so, got a job at a church, and that's where I got put into a residency with the pastors there and had become an elder and a pastor, got into a preaching rotation. I've just had a lot of quality men speaking into my life, been a part of like really good, solid churches, and I've always loved the Word of God and loved learning. And so I don't have any official like degrees from seminary, but I think I've cut my teeth and had my teeth kicked in enough in ministry over the years to realize my calling as a pastor.
No, I think that's awesome. I wasn't asking for the reason of, I just was curious about the story. So that's really good.
Sure. Yeah. But the people out there are thinking, I wonder what the reason is.
No, it's good. I'm curious about this change in music though, because gone from, that's a pretty extreme gamut. You've got to admit where you started.
Of course.
And did you say death metal or did you just say extreme punk?
Both. So wow. For about 8 or 9 years, I did a band called Overcome. That was what it's called hardcore. It's basically this mixture of metal and punk music. So it's a heavier, more thrashier version than just straight up punk. And so it's called hardcore. And there's a whole scene out there called hardcore music. So I did that I put out probably about 4 or 5 albums with a band called Overcome. Did that band for years, and then did a band called Indwelling where I just played guitar, and that was a full death metal band. And then in between, I've just kind of done and played in other local like metal bands. And then coming out of that, I started an old school country band called Some Dark Hollow and did that for 8 years. And then COVID kind of killed that band. But every type of extreme music all the way to church music. And now we're writing music for the church with Redeeming Truth Music, which I think is probably a lot of the reason why Teddy had mentioned for you to reach out to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very interesting shift. What is the angle you're taking, or I should probably better say it, the genre and approach that you're taking? Are you taking to modern reinterpretation of him, or are you going on more to the classics? What are you doing?
Are you talking about for like the Redeeming Truth Music that we're doing now?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so being a part of a church and being a part of a church where everything that we do, we want it to be biblically sound. As time goes on, it seems like the pool of music that you can find good music for the church to lead your people to sing in is getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. So having been a songwriter my entire life, basically, and loving to write music and record music, and now being here at this church, and this is the first time really in my life that I'm not a part of something, a band that's like an external thing outside of whatever other work I do. And so I have the time to do it, the resources to do it. I have so many talented folks here at Redeemer Bible Church. And it seemed like something that I just had to do. And so we're basically writing music and recording songs like for our church. And of course, we've got a website, Redeeming Truth Media, that has our podcast and blog posts, and then our music on there, where you can see the videos and the lyric videos for that. You can download free charts. But mostly what we're doing is we're writing music for Redeemer Bible Church. We're writing our own music for our church so that we have biblically sound music for us to sing. There's sources out there where we can get some of that from still, thank God, but we figured why not just write our own.
So one thing I didn't really understand, I just looked up Overcome Band, which you ran from 93 to 2000 and then 2010 to 2017. So you had about a 10-year hiatus in there. What I didn't realize is that you were a Christian metalcore band. That didn't...
Yeah.
Okay, so talk about that. I didn't even know this genre existed.
Yeah. So like I, as I was saying before, been born and raised in the church and have always loved that. There's a whole genre. There's basically Christian music for every type of genre you can imagine that exists out there, all the way from, you know, pop punk to, you know, the typical CCM stuff you're used to seeing, and then into the whatever the most heaviest, darkest music you can think exists. There are Christians out there making this music, and there's a whole scene of this out there. And so being a Christian and everything that I do being done for the glory of God, it was just a natural thing for me to put together, get together with some of my other Christian friends that were into the same thing that I was into. And all of the bands that I've done over the years have been ministry minded. So the lyrical content of that has been, especially Overcome, that was a ministry band. I would scream at people in music, and then in between songs, I would preach and talk to people and tell people about Jesus and tell them why we were here and how Christ had changed our life. And all of it was interesting because that type of music doesn't have a lot of Christian bands in it. And so we would play with non-Christian bands all the time. And so that was always kind of an interesting deal because, people don't like to hear about Jesus whenever they're not used to hearing about that. But yeah, it's been all of those bands were done as ministry.
So the metalcore concept within Christian music, and we use the term loosely. I honestly not realizing this was a Christian band. I used the term death metal. Mm-hmm. Are you running alongside of the death metal followers then when you're co-playing with other bands?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's interesting. Like when I was doing the band, I would play with all kinds of secular bands, some of those would be political, some of those would be very satanic, some of those would be just absolute atheist, God-hating people that were kind of neutral in what they were talking about for the most part. But and then there were other Christian bands that we would play with as well. So it's one of those things where like you really kind of had to know your thing. Like if you were going to be respected and be able to play the shows and be able to have anybody even allow you to be in their scene, you had to kind of be as good or better than the bands that you were playing with. So it was definitely an interesting time in my life. Got to meet a lot of very interesting people, talked to a lot of different people. I've had, we've played shows where people wanted to kill me, where people, I couldn't leave because security had to wait and clear the whole outside of the venue before we could leave because people just hated the message of Christ. And so I've had things thrown at me. I've had been heckled at shows and people have been told to not accept who we were. We've had whole flyers from our shows taken and thrown away and mockery made of all kinds of different things. And so it was not an easy road. Our first album, in fact, that we named it Blessed Are the Persecuted just because our band received so much persecution in the early days because nobody wanted to accept like a Christian hardcore band. It just wasn't a popular idea.
This is really cool. I mean, Teddy wasn't kidding. This is a cool story because you're literally going where ministry needs to go.
Absolutely.
And I have so much respect for that. That's the hard work of getting into those places where no one else wants to go, and you're out there slugging it out and putting seeds where people don't even think seeds can be planted. That's fantastic. So tell me some of the successes. There's got to be moments, though, that you impacted people in a phenomenal way, unexpectedly, especially as you're surrounded by these death cults.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. So when we would play, it's interesting because a lot of people have a history in church or whatever it may be, or some type of religious affiliation. And so you would have these people that would come to these shows, and they'd have been through whatever experience they were, and they were atheists or whatever, but they have their parents at home are going to church every week, and they've kind of like rebelled and they've gone against us. And there's never been, you know, they're into this particular kind of music. And so there's never really been an option for them. And all of a sudden we show up on the scene, and it was unreal. After the show, the conversations that I would have with people is people would be like, man, I had no idea that this type of music existed, and you could be a Christian, and you could, and there are Christian bands that do this. And then they were like, man, I was listening to what you were saying, and I was reading the lyrics of the thing. It just brought me back. And it's like, I have this knowledge of who God is, but I haven't given my life to him, because I've always felt like I was on the outside of what the church has. I never felt accepted by the church. And I can relate with that myself. It's like, you can't see me on the Zoom thing, but I've got full sleeve tattoos on my arms. I'm not the typical looking, you know, pastor guy that you would run into at most churches. But these people would be blown away by what we were doing. And then they would be talking to me afterwards, and you would see the lights turn on with these people. Like, hey, God can use me, even though I'm not like the suit and tie guys that you see all over the place, or even though I'm into a different type of music or whatever it is. Like God is using these people. God is using him. He could use me as well. I got letters from death metal band guys. I got a letter from a guy that was in a satanic death metal band that was in prison, and he got our album, and he was like, he wrote me a letter and was like, I've never in my life, I didn't know that Christians could do music like this. And he's like, someone gave me your record. I listened to the lyrics and I gave my life to Christ. And when I get out of prison, I'm starting a Christian death metal band. And so there's just crazy stories like that.
I'm thinking of Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those mm-hmm. who are crushed in spirit. This mm-hmm. is so much the heart of Jesus. I talk about this all the time, and the idea of what it really reflects when he would sit with the tax collectors and the prostitutes and all Absolutely. Of those that at the society would reject, and yet he was spending time with them and real time with them. You're doing a lot of the same thing. It's a powerful walk, and I have so much respect for this type of ministry, because it's one of the things that has happened in the church of modern day is that it has become so rigid and so conformist that we don't have room in the traditional church. There isn't a lot of room for these people that don't feel like they're part of the quote-unquote normal culture, which I'm not anyway. But like your point, so you're bringing ministry to them, and you're seeding to them. And so how much touring did you do? Because it sounds to me like your touring as well was always had to be in some way, or most of the time, parallel to these other bands, like the atheists and the, mm-hmm. and the anarchists and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, for sure there was like a Christian scene. And so it wasn't just my band, there was other bands. And so there was this kind of Christian hardcore scene, this Christian metal scene, but all of it kind of was a part of the larger scene. So when we would play in California almost every other weekend. And on the bill, there might be like our band and then maybe one other Christian band. And then the secular bands would be linked in to that. For 7 years, I toured. I did probably three full US tours that were about a month and a half to 2 months long. And then other than that, it was like we would do these short stints. So we would go play shows out to like Texas, and we'd do like an album release show, or we'd play in California. Was a big part of our of what made us successful, because the California music scene was so huge. And so we were basically for a while there, we bought a van and we would go there every weekend, and we would have a show, and it would be a sold out show. And half the time we didn't even know who we were playing with. These venues would reach out because it was such a popular style of music, and we had developed such a fan base. So there was this there was this secular club. Most of these clubs were secular clubs. There's one that's still open called the Chain Reaction that's in Anaheim. And there was one in Corona called the Showcase Theater. And they would have us out like every weekend, and they would just ask other local bands to play. And so a lot of times we didn't even know who we were playing with. And those shows would be, I mean, rowdy, man, because there would be bands that would be complete. They would want to play with us just so they could slander us when they played and mock us and laugh at us and ask the people there to harass us when we played. It was scary, but we went into those things and I was always like bold about it. And I think after a while, especially after playing with these bands for several months or several times, it was funny because where they hated us at first, then they started to respect us because we just had the guts to not care about their heckling and to own what we did. And so I think people, they want to see authenticity. That's what people want to see. And so we try to be as authentic as possible and not allow them to scare us away. And next thing you knew, like I was like buddies with these people. And so I became friends with all these people that hated me, and we would actually have really good conversations about things. And it was a pretty interesting time for sure.
So this band was Overcome, but you were also in a band called Indwelling, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Indwelling was the death metal band that I played in.
Okay. So how does that work? I'm serious, because death metal is dark. I don't think it gets any darker than that. And so you're preaching a message in death metal. What is your message in that sort of genre there? It's very interesting to me.
Yeah. So it's funny because our lead, I wasn't singing at that point. That's why I started that band. Actually with Overcome, I was the lead screamer, and I did that for about 8 solid years.
Okay. So I'm going to stop you a minute. So explain what you mean by lead screamer.
So there's no singing involved. You're just literally at the top of your lungs yelling into a microphone.
So I'm just asking you this because you're walking in a message with Jesus. So are you pulling from Holy Spirit to do this?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think we do everything that we do, you know, that is strengthened by the Holy Spirit. So,
this almost sounds like a variation of speaking tongues, but through screaming is what I'm getting at.
You know, you would definitely need an interpreter for it. That's for sure. I mean, I was speaking English. That it's funny because the genre of music that we were called in the hardcore scene has different types of, like, I guess you would say, like, subdivisions. Like there was straight edge hardcore. These were bands. These were people that like would preach this message of no drinking or drugs or alcohol. And then there was like vegan straight edge, where there's the, you know, this animal rights type activist stuff. We were called spirit-filled hardcore. So that's what the genre was called. And so they knew us as spirit-filled hardcore. And so, yeah, like to your point, it was like that. And so, you know, after the show, if you press play on any of our stuff, you'll hear me just screaming at the top of my lungs and nobody can really understand what I'm saying. But I got to a point where I couldn't really do it anymore. It was just damaging my throat, as you can imagine. And so, but I didn't want to stop. And so I knew I was a guitar player. I was a songwriter. And so basically at the end of 2001, I stopped doing Overcome and I started Indwelling, and I was playing guitar. And at that time I was just really into like really, really, really heavy music. It's just all I ever listened to. It's all I ever really wanted to do. And I always wanted to do like a Christian death metal band, because there wasn't very many of those. It was very few and far between. And so that's what I did. And so if you were to hit play on that, you would just hear growling. There's no screaming or anything. Like the singer is literally like growling, and it's supposed to sound like a monster is singing. It sounds silly, but it's actually pretty awesome.
All right. So no, it doesn't sound silly. I'm going to work some of this in anyway. Just sidebar, I want you to send me some music so I can put it in.
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. So this is fascinating. So what is the message in death metal? Because death metal, like I said, it doesn't get darker than that. I was on the scene in Portland years ago, and I was doing photography and doing all these underground scenes. And it is dark. Like you're talking about like people that are doing suspension arts where they're putting hooks through their skin and lifting themselves up and going into these neurotic trances. You've got this high intensity rhythmic pulsing music at some of these events. Some of the death metal scenes are just straight up as dark as it gets. And it's ritualistic darkness up there where every occult group around hangs out. And you're in that scene doing a Christian performance. You're not articulating words because there really isn't a lot in death metal because there's a lot of this kind of intensity, darkness, or it's supposed to be. But somehow you're pushing in a message of light. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, so I think when you strip down the gospel to what the gospel is the good news, right? And so if there is good news, we understand that there's bad news. And so basically there's this dark type of music. And I like to explain things like this. Like people can get lost in like music can be evil or good or whatever, or worship music's good. And I even remind my church that music is not worship. It's not. It's a vehicle used to express worship, right? And so music is neutral. There you can have all kinds of different types of music. People don't really like to think of it that way, but that's just true. Like there isn't, music is not how, is not, it's just a vehicle to be able to express worship or not. And so this was just another style of music to me that I was just like, for whatever reason, really into. And so we would play the heaviest, darkest sounding, like growling music that you wouldn't necessarily hear the words to. But of course, when you get these albums, the people that are into this kind of music, they actually do learn the words and they actually do kind of scream along. And if you look at pictures of us online, you'll see me standing in a crowd of people and they're all screaming back at me. They're screaming my words of those songs. They know the words of those songs. Like death metal music, hardcore music that I listen to, I know the words of those songs. So I have to be careful which bands I listen to. But we would use a dark type of music to spread the light of the gospel. And I believe that God can, in those type of things, God can redeem any of that. And so I loved that kind of music. The guys that I played with loved that kind of music, but we loved Jesus. And we realized that this is a huge mission field of people that most Christians would never go into. And so I felt like it was a calling on my life, honestly. Like this is a unique thing that God has, for whatever reason, given me a desire to enjoy this type of music. And so I'm going to redeem it, use it for Him, and spread the light that is it literally in the darkness at that moment.
I'm going to tell you, this is like one of the coolest interviews I've had in a long time. I'm really serious.
Well, right on.
And I love your heart, and I love so much because you're just going after that piece that otherwise these people are lost and walking. The church isn't even going to go after them.
Absolutely.
And this is my heart, because if we aren't out here reaching the broken, we're missing probably 70% of our population right now. And you're going into a deep part of this. And being that I personally have walked some of these, like I said, when I was doing photography in the early years up in Portland, this takes me back to 2005 before I went over to Afghanistan. I was getting into these deep underground scenes because there were so many reasons to. I was getting into the stories that no one wanted to tell. And even one of the things I tell, and you can imagine the cringe you get people when you tell people this. It's like I did a photo shoot inside a strip club called Devil's Point for 1 month. And to get to know these girls and the brokenness and how much they needed Jesus is off chain. I mean, there's no better place if you want to do ministry than to get inside of those places. And
you know, people are hurting. That's true.
They are.
Keep going.
So, I mean, what you're hitting here is a group of people. I know these scenes, and these people are, this is an intense scene, dude. I'm serious.
Absolutely.
And so you're out here bringing the story to them and doing it in the way that they can receive it, which is such a big deal. I mean, what you're talking about here is how to deliver the message. And you're using your music in a vehicle that I don't think anybody's ever even, and normally would even think about. And you use the term death metal and people are going to be like, whoa, I'm staying away. And it's you're saying, that's right where I'm going to take my band, my creation, my music, my passion to give you the seeds to be to embrace Jesus. That's incredible. So
yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It is. And it's if we aren't doing those things there, if we aren't breaking down these barriers and reaching in, we are not doing the mission, in my opinion. It's just too easy to do the standard, I'm going to sit in the rows and the pews and stand up there and get my latte in the morning, whatever, right? I mean, it's like, totally. This is great. So talk to me then about this transition of going in, especially now, because I know John Benziker, I have tons of respect for him, and I know Dale. Yeah. It's a great church down there. And so now you've come in here, and you've brought this whole background with you. I would assume that that is also part of your ministry at that church.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It 100% is. And so it's funny because whenever I did the interview for this job, this is a funny story. My mom, I called my mom when I was on the way to the interview, and I was like, hey, mom, will you, my mom, she is a prayer warrior. She prays and things happen. And so I called her up. I said, hey, will you be praying? I'm going to, got this interview with Redeemer Bible Church. And my parents were going to that church at the time. And she was like, what? And she didn't know about it. And I'm like, yeah, you know, they've got this opening for a worship pastor. So I'm on my way. And she's like, well, I will definitely pray for you. And then she said, this is a true story. She said, whatever you do, do not talk to them about your past. Don't talk to them about the music that you used to do. And I was like, okay, mom, whatever. And on my resume that I had sent them, I had put, you know, that I was on Tooth and Nail Rec, just these different things. And I was in musical bands. I didn't necessarily give details. And the funny thing is as soon as I got into the room, Kyle Swanson, one of the pastors here, he actually has seen my band play back in the day in Southern California, like many times. And so we got in there. He didn't recognize me, but they started asking me about music. And I'm like, so, yeah, what kind of music? And I said, yeah, I used to be. So it says you're on Tooth and Nail. Like, what band were you in? And I was like, oh, I was in this band called Overcome. And Kyle was like, what? And then it turned into this whole thing. And then John Benzinger was there. He actually texted a friend of his in Southern California, says, hey, have you ever heard of Jason Stinson? And then like the guy responded back while I was in the interview, like, oh, he's one of the craziest hardcore vocalists of all time. And I used to love his band. And so we ended up talking about all of these things, much to my mom's like chagrin. But it was funny how connected that was even with them.
These are the times that I can't keep from going insane. Everything you watch and hear will only cause you more pain. These are the signs of the times they say.
But yeah, to answer your other question here, all of that was just kind of a funny part of the story of me coming to Redeemer. And then here at the church, though, so this is the truth. Like, you know, if you watch our website, you look on there, like if I'm standing up in front of the stage, I'm leading the church and I've got tattoos showing all over. But I have three guys that I meet with right now at the church. That one guy is a tattoo artist at a local shop here. He goes to Redeemer Bible Church. He's a member of our church. And then there's another guy that moved here from Mexico and he's got tattoos. And then there's another guy that I'm meeting with as well. And all of these guys are like, they came to the church, they saw me there, and they were like, man, I can feel comfortable here because they have this guy as a pastor. And not only that, but like I'm mentoring and discipling these guys that wouldn't feel comfortable being mentored and discipled by like, you know, one of the other pastors here. And so it's one of those things that I do think for whatever reason, the Lord has given me different likes but I've always wanted to use that to bring glory to God. And that's what I'm trying to do here at the church as well.
I think that's completely amazing. All right, so you have gone from being a screamer.
Yep.
And then you're like up there on stage doing, well, you said you weren't the lead singer, but nonetheless, you're doing moans and groans of like a monster in death metal.
Yeah.
And now you're actually producing worship music for an audience that I know would not appreciate your screaming. I just know that audience.
Absolutely.
And absolutely. So talk to a little bit about that process, because that's a complete shift in genre. I mean, now you're more into the flow of what you said originally you weren't really into, which is kind of the normal world, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, like I said, I've always kind of loved, I love music. I love being able to play music. I love being able, and being in the church, I've always loved leading people to be able to sing praise to the Lord, for sure. And on top of all that, like in the last 8 years, I did an old school country band called Some Dark Hollow. So I've always liked singer-songwriter type music as well. So I'm kind of well-rounded in my like of music. I'm just an intense person, I think, in a lot of ways. But yeah, so I played electric guitar in church for years, just because I had the ability. I loved to play with other musicians. I wanted to use my talent. Like, I really do believe that the gathering of the church together, that people use their gifts. And if you have a gift, you use it to edify the body. And so I've been playing, you know, death metal in the clubs and then electric guitar for church on the weekend, on Sunday mornings. And so I've been doing that my whole life. And then really, I had a really good mentor in my life. His name is Gary Bloomquist. That is a worship pastor out here in Gilbert. And me and him have been doing music together for years. And I started really getting more into like singer-songwriter, old school country type music, and took voice lessons and made sure that I could sing, and started a band called Some Dark Hollow. And then at the same time, I knew there was churches out there that needed somebody to do music for them. And I was a part of a bigger church that they didn't really need me per se. And I just had this overwhelming feeling, like a calling from God, to reach out to a church that needs help. And so I got a job at a little local church out here in Phoenix, Arizona, in Central Phoenix, that I worked at for 8 years. And that's how I became a pastor. That's where I got trained in pastoral ministry. But also, I was able to just, mostly by acoustic guitar, just lead week by week people to sing. And then that led me here to Redeemer Bible Church, where now I am the worship pastor here. I love, you know, despite how much I have loved heavy music and it was a big part of my life, I also love church music. I love writing music for the church. And so now we're doing that here as Redeeming Truth Music. So it's funny, you listen to like my old music, you listen to this, there's absolutely no connection to it at all. But it's fun to write music and to be recording music and to be doing that in a church setting as well. But yeah, it's just the contrast of it is not even, you know, it is as far as the night is from the day, 100%.
Are you still doing the outreach with this? I mean, it seems to me like that would be something it would be hard to let go of, because once you're in those scenes and you're making impact, that's a pretty intense bit of work.
Yeah, well, the funny thing about that is I haven't been doing that band now since, well, at least the heavy stuff, since 2014 or so. But yet, it's still a huge part of my life. Like, I still, like, I'm talking about it right now with you. I just did a podcast about it a couple of weeks ago. I still have people that reach out to me all the time. There's still kind of like this huge fan base for us, even now. And so I talk with people almost every single week that were impacted by Overcome or Indwelling or whatever. And they send me messages, and I'm talking about it all the time. And there's still, it's funny because the ministry still lives, even though I'm not actively doing that anymore. And we kind of put the band back together a few years ago for this big 20th anniversary for a record label that we were on. So we went out and played in 2017 and at the Glass House in Pomona in Southern California. And so it still lives, and it's still a thing. People still recognize me and reach out to me for it. It's just, you know, I'm 48 years old, and the Lord is using me in different ways now. And I love being able to be a pastor at a church and be a shepherd here in Gilbert, Arizona at Redeemer Bible Church. I love people. I'm super extroverted. I love to get together with people, meet with people, have coffee, talk about the Bible, whatever it may be. So however the Lord will use me, I'm open to it. And whatever it is in his timing that he wants me to do, I'll do it. And I've kind of always been that way. I felt like the Lord called me into doing that. And trust me, most people thought that what I was doing was not a wise thing. But the Lord used it. I've got shoe boxes at home full of letters and testimonies of people that gave their life to Christ because of the ministry. And I've got all kinds of stories from people that have loved ones that have died that were buried with one of our albums and all this stuff because they gave their life to Christ because of a song that we had or something like that. And all of that, it's like nothing. No working really of my own, but all just what Christ has done. It's amazing.
I truly believe that when we're walking in the right place, that is typically the answer. When I say that, I mean, if you're doing the ministry to reach the people, you're going to take a lot of face punches and throat punches. I think it's part of the walk because it's the testimonies in what you just said, the testimonies and the testimonies we receive back. And when mm-hmm. we receive those back, and the volume, like you're talking about, and I can 100% relate to this. Probably one of the hardest times we've had here, we've had a couple of them, but on this ministry is during COVID. And yeah. I was brutal. I'm just going to straight up. I was straight out brutal. My line, I'm prayed on this, and God just gave me these words. He's like, you chose salvation in a needle versus salvation in Christ. Mm. And let me tell you, absolutely. That one will spin some people up.
Absolutely.
But
I agree with
you. but yeah, I know. And see, here's my thing is that my mission was to save people's lives.
Sure.
And so what we see now is just the impact of that on so many levels. And mm-hmm. it's not an easy walk when we're speaking truth that God needs us to speak. And we're going the places that he wants us to go. Again, just hearing how you're doing this ministry, having enough real life experience on some of these scenes and knowing what you're talking about, I can just put it in my head. I mean, without ever seen you in concert, but you're talking about California scene and Portland, Oregon scene are very similar because they're part of that
sure,
same,
absolutely.
Right? And you know that because it's part of the same tour route that they do, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely.
And these emerging music scenes are pretty rough. And so you're in they're there. Doing that. I mean, just tons of respect, man. I mean, seriously, this is the ministry that just lifts me up and says, man, Lord, this is how you're using people. And I love it. Right. I just absolutely
love it too. And like what you're saying is so right. It's right on. It's like, it's in your, like in your sense, when you think about podcasts and Christian podcasts and all the different things out there, you're like the hardcore death metal of Christian podcasts. Cause you're out there saying
that's true.
The difficult things, putting yourself in these places because God has asked you to do it. And so many times, especially when it may be a church setting or something like that, there are Christians that for whatever reason, their hands are tied in being able to say maybe even things that they'd want to say or whatever, just because of ministry is different. And God puts people into different ministries at a specific time so that he can speak and use people in all kinds of areas. You just have to be bold enough to do it.
These are the signs of the times, they say. I can only believe they're right. Going to hell in a handbasket, and I gotta get off this ride.
That's so true, man. That is so good. So you mentioned that you had an audio engineering experience, or at least a maybe technical degree of some fashion, correct?
Yes.
I mean, my passions. That's why I'm saying it's like another one of my passions. And in fact, I've been working on an audio engineering certificate just to enhance what I'm doing here. Are you now taking that to another level to like create, do your own recordings there and use that experience?
Oh, yeah. So years ago, realizing I wasn't going to make money as a touring musician, I thought, well, how else can I make money in music? Because that's all I liked. That's all I cared about. And so making records, and I loved being in the studio and making records. So there's a school here in Arizona, which is one of the best audio engineering schools, I think, in the world. It's called the Conservatory of Recording Arts and Sciences. And it's and so I went there, and that this was, 2002, 2003 or so. So it's been a while. And so when I went there, everything was still analog and digital. They had one little digital room. And the digital thing was like brand new. Pro Tools was like on just barely coming out, it was like the very first version of Pro Tools. So we learned, you know, the basics of that, but that wasn't really a huge part of the scene. But as you realize, like the analog and the digital world, they all connect and everything works. At digital, you can just move. Everything's a huge digital patch bay, basically. You can just move things around. But the concepts are all the same. Signal flow is the same. How audio and EQs and compression works is all the same. And so I realized, like, I wanted to, that would be a way how I could make money. I could do that. If I can't do it actually performing music, I could make money recording music. Had me use that over the years in so many different ways. But now at the church here, yeah, we're recording everything on site. So we're I'm basically tracking everything myself, recording everything myself, but I'm sending it to a guy who's a mixing engineer, because mixing and actual tracking are like two different worlds. And
oh yeah.
You really have somebody that's a professional with the right ear.
And the right equipment. Because that's another level, right? I mean, a very good friend of mine, Brian Kahunik, he's a recording artist and he's a mixing engineer. And he, matter of fact, he was one of the top mixing engineers for Disney. So when you get to that level, I just had this conversation a couple of weeks ago. Matter of fact, he was on the show a couple of weeks ago. Was that discussion of the level of equipment to get into the different sets of gear to take you to that level. And you're talking a whole nother level. Of stuff, it is. Right?
It is. Tracking's pretty simple these days. I mean, you can get yourself a decent interface for, you know, $1,000 or whatever, and you get yourself a nice microphone and you have the ability. You can track high quality, you know, signal and make sure that everything's all set and you can listen to it, but it's going to sound like, you know, it's not going to sound good until you have the right person mix that up, make it all with the reverb and how everything's supposed to be and understanding the science behind all of that. It's just a totally different animal. I can do it some, but I'm just not a professional at it. So I wish I was, but yeah, it requires a whole new set of tools as well. Like you don't need anything other than like the interface and some microphones to track, but you need a whole slew of outboard gear and plugins and all kinds of knowledge and how they work together to do all the mixing, for sure.
Part of the question that I have for you on this, then, is: are you moving towards creating your own label at a Redeemer Church?
Well, yeah, we kind of did actually, because in order to release music, you have to have some type of label. And so, I mean, you can release music on Spotify, and you can use different. There's this thing called CD Baby or DistroKid where they'll distribute your music for you. But in the questions for all those things, it's like, what's the record label? What are you calling this? What's it being released on? And so Redeeming Truth Media is kind of the overarching media group that we created here at Redeemer Bible Church for our church to communicate to our church. And then I have Redeeming Truth Music, and we have a record label, just Redeeming Truth Records. And so all of our, all of the stuff, I categorize it under that thing. So in our own way, yeah, we've got our own record label now too, which is cool.
Oh, it's really cool. I mean, I'm looking back at your stuff from when you were with Overcome, and you worked with, looks like, four different labels: Tooth and Nail, Face Down, Solid State, and Life Science, right?
Life Sentence.
Oh, Life Sentence. I'm sorry. Yeah, Life Sentence.
Yeah, Life Sentence was actually a label that wasn't a Christian label. They put out a ton of really rowdy stuff, man. I mean, you could look up their label and see they had a band on there called Torn Apart, a band on there called Excessive Force. And but they loved us. They loved our boldness. They loved how we just didn't care that whether people liked us or hated us. And so that guy was like, hey, I want to put out a record with you guys. And so I was like, okay. And so we recorded and put that out. And that was kind of a big deal at the time because there weren't any other Christian bands like ours being accepted by secular labels. It was kind of a big deal for him to put that record out too. Like he got a lot of crap for doing it, but he was one of those guys that I think we just got along because he didn't care what people thought about him. And I don't either. So it's like, okay, let's do it.
Well, one of the things that I learned very quickly, we had a big festival back in 2021. We usually have one about every year, but this is our one in 2021. It was in St. Louis, and we reached, this is the peak of COVID con, right? And we reached out to a number of labels to get Christian bands in. And I could not believe how many said no to us because our stance was we were anti-vax.
Oh my word. I believe it because they're all cowards. They're all ran by progressive Christians. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you want to, you can't see me, but I'm using quote symbols when I say that.
Right.
But most of that world, most churches, you know, this most quote unquote Christian labels, all of this, even the music scene now, even a lot of the Christian scene now, it's become this progressive Christian nonsense. That is woke. It's just completely woke. And yep. So that doesn't surprise me one bit. It's sad, but it doesn't surprise me.
No, I agree with you. I mean, we had to kind of rummage around and what we ended up going with were just small, which was the best anyway, but just small kind of unknown labels or bands, I should say. And they were happy to play and we had some great performances, but it's pretty crazy when you start to really dig into it and you get into that level of it. And what was even more stunning is when we were talking with the promoters and we asked them, we said, you know, we're going to be, we're against the vax. We don't support it. And it was just a matter of business for them. It's like, just write it in your contract. I'm like, okay. So we wrote it in our contract. And I cannot tell you how many backed out. They're just like, nope, don't want anything to do with this. I'm like, okay. Wow.
Yeah. What ultimately killed my old school country band, Some Dark Hollow, is we played all the way up till February 28th was our last show. And we were playing at this local club here called the Rebel Lounge. And then I had a couple shows lined up for March and those got canceled, of course. And so the last show that we did was like an outside show. We played at a drive-in movie theater and they put us live on one of the movie screens above us. And then they had all these cars back up to us with their, you know, trucks and truck beds and all the different things that people were watching music that way. It was ridiculous. But when things started to open up again and shows started happening again in around 2021, I was still going to do that band. I started booking shows. I booked like three shows. And at that point I got a message from one of the venues that was like, hey, just so you know, we're requiring vaccination or a COVID test. And so I reached out to them. I said, is that for bands also, or just for the people that are coming? And they're like, no, bands too. So I'm like, I'm out. And so that killed the band right there. I just reached out to the guys. I said, I'm not messing with any of this stuff. And these venues can all go pound sand. And so that was it for me. It wasn't something that I would even give one second of thought to. And so I was just kind of done with it.
No, I agree with you.
Even till this day, ever since, I mean, I've never even taken a COVID test. Like even that, I think even that's ridiculous. If you're sick, you're sick, whatever. I never took a test before to find out anything. It's like, I'll just get over it. The whole thing makes me insane.
It makes you want to go back and be a screamer.
Dude, totally. I mean, I have stuff to scream about for sure. I do. I do, but I'll, you know.
Behold our God is our salvation. All our trust in Him alone.
That's pretty awesome.
I don't know if that would be in this crazy world we live in now, that I would be a complete and total minority when it comes to that type of thinking. You know how that is. Even most don't even know how to think about these things.
Well, the couple of things I'm just, again, just a lot of praise to you because like this ministry here, we have a huge reach, and I'm blessed, and that's how our Father God has just blessed us all that are part of this. But it's never been about numbers for me. It's just been about message, right? And if that means you got to take the hardest message, I mean, I can tell you, I recently took on a hard message, brutal. We can talk offline about it. I mean, and it causes, and people are telling you, like, don't go there. And I'm like, God's telling me to go here. That's all I know, you know, and go here. And if you don't like that message, I'm sorry, but there's truth to it. And that's where we have to go. And I just why I'm, you were saying how you are on that one label, which is life sentence. And they liked you because you just didn't care whether you were loved or not. You're just doing the message. That's a lot of respect right there. Because it is about the mission that God puts on our heart, not about whether we're going to get the bunch of likes and popular thumbs up and all this other stuff, right?
Oh, absolutely. That is right. And that's what I love about working at Redeemer Bible Church. It's like, I feel like I fit in right here because you know John and you know Dale and you know Teddy. And it's like right now I have a tattoo on my arm, which was the Redeemer cross. And on top of it says outlaw, because we are like, we will speak the truth no matter what. And numbers to us are souls. So they matter for sure. But we will not, we believe we're going to stand before the Lord one day, because it's true. And we're going to have to give account for every single thing that we said to them. And so do we fear man or do we fear God? And so we want to always, no matter what, no matter how hard the message is, we want to tell the truth. John was the first person here in Arizona during COVID to come out with a stand series, like just calling out the wokeism that's happening in the churches. And, you know, we're constantly on the front lines of just wanting to be solid with whatever truth it is that we're saying. And so I love being able to work here at this church as well, because we have the same type of mindset that I think you have whenever you're talking about what you're talking about.
Oh yeah, absolutely. No, I love John. I like what you guys do. It's really fantastic. So kind of last question, then we're going to go to prayer, but, have you considered, or are you considering building up, taking that experience and building up an outreach program with younger talent that can learn to do, you know, this type of music you were before, Christian metalcore?
Not necessarily. There's still labels and there's still a big scene for this out there. That the label that we were on, Face Down Records, still exists. And the guy that runs that is a fantastic guy. He's awesome. One of my best friends. And so there's still, believe it or not, he's probably got 10 to 15 bands on his label that were in the same vein that we were, that are still after it, that are still going. I've got friends that were in bands with me back then that are still, there's a band called Demon Hunter. You've probably heard of them, but that's, those guys were all in kind of hardcore metal bands back in the day, and they're all believers and they're still going after it. I'm kind of one of those guys that I would, if God called me to do that and God put that in my path, I 100% would do that. But it's not something that, right now, I really feel like my calling is a pastor to this local church, to the people here at Redeemer Bible Church, to the worship and tech team that I have here, which is over 80 people. And I'm in a different place of life with my family and with church and occupation and everything that I'm doing. Always just, you know, it's an always kind of like, stay behind Jesus. What does he want me to do? And I'll do it.
100%. So where can they listen? Where can people listen to your music on the, like, even the Redeemer Church site? Because I was looking and I didn't see a specific tab for you.
Yeah, so the tab on the Redeemer Church site would be Redeeming Truth Media, and it's right up at the very top. You click on that Redeeming Truth Media, takes you to the website, and the website is very easy to navigate. And there's a picture of me right there on the front of it, it's broken into podcast, music, and publishing. And so if you click on music there, it'll take you to the music site, and there's lyric videos, there's chord charts, there's all of that. And then all of our music, this is pretty new. This is in its infant stages right now. So we've got 5 songs that we've released so far, and it's on every streaming platform that exists. So Redeeming Truth Music, if you look us up on Spotify, on Apple Music, or, you know, YouTube Music, Amazon Music, whatever it is you use, we're on there, and you can follow us. You can add us to your playlist. If you have a worship playlist, add it onto there. I would love for the more people add our music to playlists and have it playing in the background, the better. So, but that's, we're kind of out there all over the place. But yeah, that from our website, it's Redeeming Truth Media that you would click on for that.
I found it. It's right here. We'll put it up underneath the podcast when this airs Sunday night, which will be great. And, right on. If you're good with it, then we always do music after the show for about an hour. We keep our chat open and we just play worship music. So if it's okay with you, we'll put in a couple of your songs.
That's fantastic. Of course it's okay with me.
That's awesome. Okay. Jason, we always close with a prayer. I'd love today if you'd lead the prayer.
I'd love to. Jesus, Lord, we come before you. We thank you that we can trust in you in all things. We thank you that you have your providential hand and your guide for us is always leading us. And so we find our strength in our weakness from you. We want to be people that honor you with everything that we do in our lives to bring glory to your great name. We realize it's so easy for us to be distracted by what's happening around this world or even to fall into despair, but we don't need to fear. We don't need to fear because you are our God. You have ordained everything that's going to happen from beginning to the end. We are walking perfectly within your plan. And so I thank you for that. Thank you that we can place all of our faith, hope, trust in you and what you have done for us on the cross. I pray that you help us to be bold for truth and to live our lives to steward the Bible well and to steward the message that you have given us as the ones that are I've been called to the ministry of reconciliation. And we do all this for your glory. Amen.
Father, I just want to thank you today for this meeting. Just one of these moments, Father, that is just incredible with Jason, that just reminds us of how incredible your hand is in all things, to truly be where you use people in the most unexpected places and even places that we would never consider to bring the message and to sow the seeds and to bring people to Jesus. And so we just thank you for this day. It's just been, Father, it's just been an amazing interview of inspiration, a story that has lifted us and to remind us truly of your power and your perfection in all things. We just ask for the blessings and resources that Jason needs to continue to pour down upon his family and upon the church and just bless him in all that he does in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Awesome interview, dude. Enjoyed the conversation. Look forward to meeting you in person at some point.
Likewise. Yeah, absolutely. That'd be great. If you're ever out in Arizona or if you ever come want to hang out with Teddy or whatever and come to Redeemer, we'll take you out.
I'll be down there in this year for sure. Hang on just a minute after we close. So, sure. Jason, thank you. I hope you have a very, very blessed day and just really look forward to connecting and listening to some of your music.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you so much for this time.
You bet. God bless you, man. Well, Patriots, that was Jason Stinson. Amazing artist, an amazing range of talent that he has. So as we close out tonight, we're just going to do our standard closeout, except the out music is going to be a piece that he's composed. It's just absolutely beautiful. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We are at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, have a very blessed evening. Enjoy the out music, composed and put together by Jason Stinson. Until then or until the next time, God bless, good night, and out for now.